In this episode, discover how to overcome adversity when it comes looking for you.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by WireBuzz.
What is up? What is up? I'm joined right now in the studio by my dear friend Dan Lear, the quota crusher. But there's other things about Dan that you may not know. And I want to talk with Dan about adversity. Look, we've all dealt with it in our lives. First, let me just say hello, Dan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey. Do I have to do that hail thing?
Hey-o. What I'm really doing, and I've never shared this before, but with every episode, I start off paying homage to the big media figures that I admired growing up. Hey-o, it's Johnny Carson. There's... Hey now, it'd be a Howard Stern.
Right.
What is up? What is up is Jim Rome, who I ran as digital for a long time.
That's right.
So I'm just kind of dropping a little memory lane for myself.
I see.
Because it gets me into the mood of what I get to share, right? But Dan, you have, first let's tell your story.
Yep.
And I know that as we tell your story, people will identify it. Mm. And for me in my life and my adversity, I identify with what you're going through. Yours is on a different level, bro.
Yeah. So if I get too long-winded here, just
take
interrupt.
Your time. Well, no, take your time.
So, I guess as your listeners who are out there crushing it, making it happen, I was just like one of your listeners going out, living my life and doing my thing. And I'm a corporate keynote speaker. So I drive revenue by doing customized keynotes and sales trainings all around the country. And so, I'm an ex-athlete, so in the gym, working out, doing my thing, and I just started noticing my health was starting to change. I was just getting weak, and I thought I was, just kind of figuring it out.
Which, as an athlete, that's one of the value adds, is when something changes because you keep yourself in shape, you notice it quicker.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that saved my life, honestly, because I was still playing basketball at a high level, even, that was, in my early 50s. Yeah. So, I'm in there running. And so recovery time and explosion and things were just different. And I couldn't do the things I could do. And, I'm getting old. So I moved into a cycling class, a spin class. Well, I did that for a while.
Scenery in there is better anyway.
Yeah. Well, pretty soon I wasn't able to do that, Todd. And I moved to yoga. And all this time, I just was getting weaker and weaker, and I was having a hard time walking. I was that guy. I'm 6'8", so I tend to walk fast. And I would be the guy who was impatient with people that were walking slow at the airport.
Right. You live in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's notoriously slow people.
Oh, anyway. So, pretty soon, I'm that guy who's the slow walker.
Right.
Who's not able to walk. And so, anyway, the short story is I was getting treated by people in Las Vegas for 2 years trying to find out what's going on. They didn't find out. And I, on my own recognizance, I flew up to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota to get tested. And they found that I had this disease called amyloidosis, which is a blood disease. It's an incurable blood disease that's derived from your bone marrow, kind of like leukemia. And so what it does is, just for illustration purposes, your bone marrow creates proteins that go out in your body that do good things. They build cells. They do all type of the good things. And for the sake of the illustration, these proteins are shaped like squares and circles and triangles. But some of the proteins that were made in my bone marrow were rogue. They just didn't have any shapes. And that's what they call them in the medical community, that the proteins were misshaped. So they're not usable. And so because they're not usable, they're just floating around in my blood system, but they're also non-perishable and non-biodegradable. So they have to have somewhere to go. And these proteins, they're sticky. And then they end up sticking on your organs. So mine, they're called amyloid proteins. And these are derived from what's called a light chain protein. And these proteins were sticking onto my heart. And so they started sticking onto my heart and fibrizing and basically shutting it down. So the medical community thought I had congestive heart failure from a guy who works out every single day. And I'm not exaggerating. And I take tremendous care of my body. And all of a sudden they tell me I have congestive heart failure out of nowhere.
Right.
And they stuck with it. They stuck with it all the way. I would be dead right now.
Right.
So I went to Mayo Clinic. They said I had amyloidosis. We started chemotherapy a week later. three types of chemotherapy over 2 years. I'm on a different drug right now for lymphomic leukemia because they don't have drugs for what I have, and the insurance won't cover it if it's not coded properly. So I have to get it through the manufacturer. So the bottom line is I'm here today. I just got back from the Mayo Clinic, and I'm in your office because it's almost next door.
Right.
And my numbers are great. Normal level, if you will. So it would be remission, if you will, if it was cancer, but it's not cancer. But I still have to do what I do because it's an incurable disease. And I have people, I'm in these forums, these amyloidosis forums, which I stay away from, but I do look at once in a while. And people, like, I'll give you an example. I think we talked about this before. One of the guys that had a exact same thing what I had, his name was Gregory Foster. And he was an Olympic athlete, won a gold medals in the Olympic Olympics in 84. He was kind of their amyloidosis spokesperson just like 2 months ago. Anyway, he's back in the hospital now because it's just a crazy disease. So I focus on, I'm here today, I'm feeling good. And, but it's been a rough go. And I guess that's where the adversity conversation comes in.
As a friend of yours, it's been really difficult watching you go through it. It's also been a very important learning experience for me. I confided in you when we were in Vegas. We had dinner with our wives that I had a scare. I had a lump in my under my arm, and I was sure that that was a lymph node that was passing something into my system. And within the next 24 hours, it was totally gone. But during that 24 hours, I was a wreck. And I kept saying, I don't know how Dan is overcoming this adversity the way he is, because I'm a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet you get up every day and you not only share that from the stage and inspire people, but you inspire them to achieve their goals and to overcome adversity. And there's got to be as a, you're like a serious winner. At every stage of your life, it doesn't matter if it's winning in college basketball or it's winning with Tony Robbins or winning from the stage or helping sales teams. Like, that's you. So there's got to be lessons that you've pulled over from everything, and you've used it into helping you accommodate and surpass your illness, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of those things come, we just did a podcast about sales a bit ago, and you know, I'll circle back to the same thing. It starts with your mindset. You know, when I got diagnosed, it was a weird thing because I'm a very strong person, very, very, very positive person. And during that time, Todd, when I was going through this situation where I wasn't diagnosed, I felt like how I felt other people might feel. Like, so you have this feeling where you're dying, and you know you're fighting it and saying I can do it, but your body's not responding, and you get tired of fighting, and you give up. Right. I mean, I can see how people give up. I remember laying in bed on two separate occasions, and my mind just went to that place where, well, I guess that's it, man. And I guess, you know, I'm in my mid-50s. I had a good life. I mean. Right. Man,
surrounded by love. Like, it's easy to do that.
Done some great things, dude. Right. I mean, I've, you know, I worked for Tony Robbins. I played basketball with Magic Johnson. I've done some amazing things in my life. And you just start to justify, it's, you know, I guess that's the way it's going to go. And, you know, and then, you know, my mind goes a little deeper, like, okay, you know, which one of my friends is going to date my wife?
Right.
And all that stuff. And, you know, it's enough to keep a man alive right there, brother. But, you know, again, it gets down to all I know how to do is win. So when they told me that I had amyloidosis, I was so excited because I actually knew what I had.
Yeah.
Because when you put the sales hat on, imagine if you had a quota to hit, but you don't know what it is. You know, if you don't hit your quota, you're going to get fired. Right. What's my quota? Oh, we don't know yet. Right. Just keep going. Right. That's kind of how it was.
Right.
So imagine getting up every day feeling like absolute crap, and the doctors tell you you're okay. Just keep going.
Right.
And it was so difficult. And so when I found out I had this deadly disease, I was freaking fired up.
I remember the day when we found out and you guys circulated the news back over to us. And it was like you now had a target.
I had a target.
Right?
I had a target. And so then I just implemented the things that I already know. You know, I'm diligent. I'm structured. I have a solid belief system. I never believed I never saw myself dying. Even though I had those thoughts, I never saw myself dying. And so I still had the self-image of myself doing great things. And I saw myself doing great things and helping people and helping people in my situation. And so I just kept going. I kept going and I'm diligent. I was doing all, you know, it was a rough road because we started with one kind of chemotherapy called Velcade where they shoot it into your abdomen. Right. But then I started to get neuropathy where I couldn't feel my feet because it's a toxicity with the nerves. And so we went to another type of chemotherapy, which is called Revlimid.
It's a lot of guesswork.
It's all guesswork.
Right. Trial and trial.
It's nothing more than a human laboratory rat.
Yeah.
It really is. And so they give me this other drug called Revlimid, threw my heart into a AFib type thing where I had to go to the hospital and get drained basically. And then they put me on this, it's all trial. Right. Like we're going to see if this works.
Right. Guinea pig.
Total guinea pig.
Yeah. You know?
So, and at the same time I was actually on a trial. So it's been a, and so I guess to answer your question, dude, it's just really, you know, it's knowing that it's all going to work out if you just keep going through it. I mean, nothing lasts forever. So, I mean, I was either going to die or I was going to live. So if I'm going to live, why not be happy about it? Why not keep going? Why not keep fighting? Unless you're just going to call it quits.
Okay,
right
but there. As your friend, what I've observed,
yeah,
this shouldn't be, I've shared with you. what I've observed is a blueprint that I will emulate when I deal with adversity on that level. And I'm grateful, really grateful to have watched you, because I want to spend a few moments on a couple of things that when you've got a winner's mindset, when you know the power of your mind. My grandfather was a doctor of metaphysics. My grandfather helped patients until he 2 weeks before he passed in his 80s. And my grandfather always told his patients, it's the mind leads the body, not the body leading the mind. And that to me, I see that emulated in you.
Absolutely.
Because when you go to get your chemotherapy, in your brain, it's not chemotherapy, it is the healing elixir.
Healing serum. Yes.
Healing serum.
Yes.
Okay, you have empowered it.
Yes.
With certain superpowers that the average patient doesn't ignite that healing serum with.
Right.
They've actually kind of devalued it by talking about how it's killing them on the inside.
That's right.
Right? So that's something I observed. And the other thing I observed that is, you know, besides the positive mindset that you bring to everything that you do and that you're going to get to the end goal, is that you use your sleeping time as your body's cleaning and recovery time, and you use hypnosis and healing music. Can we spend a few moments on that? Like, I'm so into this, dude.
I'd love to. So yeah, let's go back to the first thing you were talking about, the healing serum.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to talk about is language, okay? So it's important that as a human being, we create language, actually creates feeling. So, you know, like it's a simple thing. Like if I said that I was angry versus that I was frustrated, different word, different feeling. So we are our words. And so it's understanding that I was going in to get this chemotherapy, and we all know chemotherapy is poison. We all know that. And so chemotherapy doesn't have a good identity. It's not a good vibe. So who wants to go get chemotherapy? Right. And by the way, it smells like death in there.
Right.
It does. I mean, when I was getting diagnosed, I would walk by the chemotherapy room and say, oh God, I please hope I never want to go in there, because I see all these people hooked up to the chairs and it smells like death.
And when I took Wendy in there for when Wendy was going through breast cancer, that was the spiral moment for Wendy.
Big time.
Okay.
Yeah. So I knew that right away. And so rather than going there, oh, I'm going in for chemo, I'm going in to get some healing serum. So I would literally look forward to going in and getting this injection into my abdomen where it left me these bruises and it hurt like hell. But the pain reminded me, there's like, oh man, this stuff is going in there and it's empowering my body right now. It's the healing serum. So I would put myself in that place where I literally believed that this was a serum that was healing me. I didn't even think it was chemotherapy.
Right.
It's just a mindset, dude. It's just a different way of
thinking
about it.
But you have to keep reinforcing it. You have to keep giving it power, which also means you have to mentally diminish your fear or your negative chatter. Is that right? I mean, this is all about overcoming adversity, but how you train your mind to go through it is essential.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to people all the time in my situation, and all they're doing is like, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And oh my gosh, I hope this, what if I get a reaction to that? I mean, Todd, oh my God, it is so prevalent in our culture, and not just from people. I'm talking even the doctors and the physicians. I mean, I had a nurse tell me, I was going in for my second chemo treatment where they're injecting into my abdomen. And the next day I had a keynote talk in Tampa. So I was getting chemo in Rochester, Minnesota, flying out and doing a keynote the next morning in Tampa, Florida. And the nurse says to me, she goes, well, how'd you feel after your first chemo treatment? I said, that was great. I felt fantastic. She goes, well, on the second one, you'll probably feel something because now it's stored up in your body.
Thank you for that.
And I said, well, thank you for that, but that's probably not going to happen to me. Yeah. I mean, can you believe that? Yeah. She's injecting her opinion into my mindset. And so if someone wasn't like me, they hear that and then they go home and tell their family, I'm probably going to be sick today because they told me that now it's built up in my system. Right. And I'm going to be nauseous.
Power of suggestion.
Power of the mind, baby.
Right?
So I always felt like I was going to go in there and the whatever treatment I was going to get, it was going to make me better. Didn't always work that way,
right.
But that's how I thought.
Right.
And so that's what I do. And so, you know, you talked about what I do at night. So I'm a big believer in the mind as you, and I love your grandfather, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm certified in NLP and hypnotherapy, and I'm a big believer in the unconscious mind. So I created this technology called Subconscious Success Programming, SSP, that I've been doing my entire adult life. When I got hired by Tony Robbins after I had a conversation with Brian Tracy about this whole accelerated learning and Baroque music and your mind, you know, going into a trance type of thing. And so I created this audio where I laid down Baroque music, and Baroque music is a form of classical music that has been proven to connect the brain synapses and help things work better in your mind. And then I laid down some thoughts in the form of "you are." And the psychology behind that,
Todd,
it's really powerful. The psychology behind that is that people are accustomed to giving affirmations like, I feel good today.
Yeah.
Well, in my situation, when you say that, I feel good today, your unconscious mind says, no, you don't. You feel like crap. Or, I make $1 million. You know, that's the affirmation from the sales performer. No, you don't. You're barely getting by. So it's bullshit, quite frankly. So what I learned is that you listen to your parents, you know, you listen to adults, you listen to people you respect. So when people say something, you're like, Todd, you're an amazing marketer. You say, thank you. And you believe it's true. So I created this audio where I'm talking to myself in the form of you are strong, you are healthy. The healing serum is cleansing your blood on a daily basis. Your white blood cells are attack, you know, all these positive things that were going on in a hypnotic type voice. And so I made a loop. Well, actually I didn't make a loop because we have the digital products now. So
it sounded good.
That's old school. So I put it on GarageBand, made an MP3, stuck it on my iPhone. And so my iPhone plays every night, all night on repeat. And I get 6 to 8 hours of calming spa type music or Baroque music with soundtracks laid down on my own voice telling me how I'm healing every single day.
Your voice is the most powerful voice.
Yes, it is.
Right? Because your body has already accepted it.
I talk to myself all day, just like you.
Right?
Talk to yourself
That's
all day.
That's right. So what you've done is you've taken what would be downtime and you turned it into healing
time.
Right?
Healing time. Yep.
Now, the reason I bring this up, okay, we're not talking about video marketing. The reason I bring this up is because of adversity in our lives. When you approach adversity, to what level of commitment will you set to yourself, you commit to yourself in order to achieve and to overcome? Because there really isn't anything we can't get through if we commit ourselves and we make sure that we're feeding all the positive things. And the fear part or the limiting self-belief part is what keeps us from achieving our full potential.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yep.
And as somebody who's observed you going through it and has admired it, if I had you in the studio, it would be foolish of me to not share that wisdom with my followers.
I appreciate that. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And so how often do you have to go back to get more doctor visits. Yeah. I know it's a part of the of your whole life now.
Yeah, it's a part of my life now. So right now there is no cure. So I typically go back every month to get blood tests. They do the whole blood profile panel and check my blood because I'm on this, you know, crazy drugs that, but the numbers were so good today, Todd, and I've shown consistent improvement that I'm good for a quarter. I don't have to come back for another quarter now, which is amazing, which is unheard of.
We're going in the right direction.
We're going in the right direction. Yeah. It's amazing, dude. So, you know, it's been an incredible journey. And you know, this is for your video marketers right here, because we're talking about success, right? And so I've made some adjustments to my keynote talk, because I talk to salespeople all the time, and all salespeople, they all want to get better. They all want to do better, but we all have mental blocks and issues, and, you know, we have stuff that goes on. And so can I share this with you real quick? Because I think this would be really valuable.
Please.
So as you're listening to this podcast, no matter where you are and what you're doing as far as your life or your sales cycle, you know, we're all accustomed to video games, right? We all know what a video game is. And so when you play a video game, Todd, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, I'm going to go into this other environment and I'm going to make it okay that I'm going to go into this environment with these limitations. These limitations are that I've got a gun and I've got two bombs and I got to get over to there.
And I can only go forward and backwards.
Whatever, yeah. I can jump and I can spin, but I can't be invisible. You know, you've got these limitations, right? So we all have limitations that we have. And so we are so hard on ourselves about our limitations, about what we can't do, but we're willing to go into this video game and play it and find a way to overcome these situations. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's an environment.
Right.
So what if you dropped yourself into this environment right now? And this was your first day. So here's the challenge I have for you, the listeners right now. If you're a salesperson or someone in, just in general looking to complete a project, I call it your second chance. See, I went through my second chance because I almost died, and I figured this out along the way. But here's what I share to salespeople now. It's like, imagine right now, we all have issues. We all have challenges. We all have things that stop us. But what if today you re-engaged in your life, almost in a virtual perspective. You know, you probably put on the Oculus glasses, right? Mm-hmm. Put on the Oculus glasses and you jump into that Oculus thing and all of a sudden it's real. Like you feel like you're real. What if you put on the Oculus glasses today and you re-entered your life as a first day of your life, but you're still the same age, you still have the same job, but it was the first day or your new life and you could actually had a second chance.
Yeah.
What would you do different? What would you do different if it was your first day of your second chance? You're living in your same world with your same job, same situation, nothing's changed, but you know that, boom, these are my limitations now, and how can I handle these things? What would you do different?
May I answer?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually think I just stumbled into this. My adversity has been overcoming my attention disorders, my learning disabilities, my dyslexia. And one of the ways that, and this has just recently come out from coaching. And I started going to coaching maybe about, I don't know, 9 months ago. And it's helped me tremendously.
That's great.
What I just stumbled into yesterday in my coaching meeting, and she made it very clear to me, was my driving mechanism that I've used to get myself to this point, which has worked very well for me, is I cattle prod myself throughout my day.
Okay.
And that's how I push myself through my adversity. And it may not be a pleasant way that I speak to myself or motivate or drive myself, but it's worked. But it's something that the cattle prod is something that I selected when and by cattle prod, I'm like, you know, always like a coach in my ear,
right,
driving myself.
Yeah. Pushing, okay? Yourself.
That's,
yeah,
what I'm doing. But what it does is it creates irritation. So I'm a bit irritated throughout the day. When I've got a lot of stuff to get done,
I hear you.
The interruptions that happen, the more irritation, because I've been cattle prodding myself, but I'm not getting the progress because I'm only happy if I'm making progress. So I compound the issues, and what I'm really doing is creating a ripple effect.
Yes.
Around the team that I love and at home when I don't accomplish my goals for the day. And there has to be a better way for me to achieve my work and lift up and inspire people. I mean, you know, that is my nature.
Right.
But when my list starts getting built bigger, I start cattle prodding. And so that's where I'm at right now at this moment is my adversity. How do I come up with a new way of driving myself with the same level of respect and motivation and inspiration that I give to somebody like Jordan, who was with us in the last episode?
Right.
Because I couldn't talk to Jordan the way I cattle prod myself.
Of course not.
Right?
Right.
And that wouldn't even be legal.
Right.
So, right. So that, I mean, that's what I would, I'm now trying to figure that part out for me.
So this is interesting. It's a really good question. And it's a deep question.
Yeah.
And so, I've been through this thing because I was wired a lot different than I am today, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. So I've been through these processes of, you know, of holding yourself accountable and getting angry at yourself. And one of the things that I've learned over my journey is that, you know, oftentimes we're much nicer to other people than we are to ourselves, which you just talked about, which we all know that. And just understanding, dude, that look, you're a superstar. You're a champion. And if you can just hold on to the fact that all you need to do is do what you know is that makes you successful, which is being diligent, being consistent, mm-hmm. all the success strategies you have. And that's all you need to do because, you know, you have to ask yourself, does cattle prodding me make things better at my office for my coworkers? And the answer is no. And you're a sharp guy. So right. you have to drill that back and say, okay, it's a nice short-term solution, but a bad long-term strategy,
right?
Right. So the question is that, are my employees great? Yes. Is my company kicking ass? Yes. So where's the middle line? Why do I need to be that way to get that result? And so it's really just, I mean, really taking a look at it. And sometimes you don't have to look at those things until you have to.
Right.
See, until your company starts going south or your people start to leave, you won't look at that.
Right.
But the magic is when you can just make self-improvement and say, well, why would I want to make my employees' life worse when they're actually helping me and helping my customers, right? Right? So it's really just a mature conversation with yourself.
And how long does it take for change to happen?
Well, here's the thing is that, remember
it
I talked-
happens like this.
Remember I talked about that avatar thing,
yes.
right? So to actually have it, this is something that most people actually don't do anymore, like think. Right? Because most people don't think anymore. They just have an idea and then they let it go because they're on to the next thing or they're texting or whatever they're doing. Thinking, Todd, means you actually have a conversation with yourself, which could mean that you actually have an avatar that you talk to that talks back to you. And you actually have a discussion with yourself about how this is going to go down. Mm-hmm. And that's what people who actually think do. Mm-hmm. So because if you had an issue with Marcus, you go in the room and you talk to him about it and you figure it out. And why wouldn't you do the same thing with yourself and say, hey, dude, I want to talk to you about this
right.
because you know better than us. Let's talk about how this, I mean, so that's what elevated people can really actually have a conversation with themselves because we negotiate with ourselves all the time.
Day,
you know, the people, oh, why can't I lose any weight?
Right.
I told myself I wasn't going to have those chips and I friggin' did.
I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll get
And so
I'll
that's the
going.
Discussion is like, you have to have a conversation with yourself, just like you're interacting with your kids. Like, okay, you clean your room today, and then you get to play video games.
Right.
So, I mean, you actually have to negotiate with yourself
and
create a solution. It doesn't happen overnight, Todd. It's like you're working with I forgot his name.
Jordan.
You know, you're teaching him. It doesn't happen overnight. Same thing with talking to yourself about that.
So, interesting.
Awareness is number one. Thinking about it, which most people don't do, is number two. Like actually having a conversation with yourself as yourself, because you talk to yourself all the time anyway.
Right.
You're an intelligent guy, so why not talk about it?
Right.
Right?
Who better?
Right? Then you talked about it with your wife. I mean, those are things you talk about, but actually having the discussion with yourself about it and actually really doing it sounds weird. But when you really do it, you can actually engage in a conversation and say, you know what, you're right. I'm going to do this next time because you're actually having a conversation with yourself.
Well, what I've discovered when I have a conversation with myself is I've got a really good sense of humor because the answers, and I'm sharp, and the answers that I'm giving happen, the answers come before the question is even finished.
Right.
But I have to be willing to ask.
Yep.
Each and every time.
Yep, you got to go for it. So I know that sounds like a crazy thing to say.
I don't think so.
But it's a deep conversation. When you're talking about behavior change.
Yeah.
Right. That's different than like something.
I'm trying to get to a point where I love my work. Mm-hmm. You know this about me. Like I'll work every day and not feel like I'm working. But there is an irritation that builds while I'm working, which is not in congruency with how I feel about my work.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So if you were talking to your psycho, you know, your grandfather right now, and you said there's an, I would say, what's your irritation specifically?
My irritation is mostly around attention distractions. And I think that is called, I look at it as options. I have a lot of options that are competing for my attention.
Correct.
And even my office door is beautiful, but it's not the right door for somebody with attention disorders because it's glass and I see everybody walk by and everybody sees me working. And anytime somebody walks by, it commands my attention and pulls me away. And with enough mental distractions by the end of the day, I'm kind of irritated. By the time I leave, I go to the gym after because I got to burn off some of that irritation before I see Wendy.
Yeah. So I guess an even deeper question is, what would have to happen for you to believe that you no longer have an attention disorder situation?
Yeah, that you're right. You're right. Because I do fuel it.
Yeah.
And it has been something that that people with credentials have reinforced in my life, right? Like educators and so on.
Yeah.
I don't have the answer to that right now.
Yeah.
Ask myself
that. Yes. Well, and the other question I would ask you, Todd, I mean, first of all, you're a really successful guy and we're talking about something that you've laid out, which is not really of a problem, but since you brought it out.
But I'm also on this never ending quest of overcoming my own adversity.
Yeah. And so the question I would ask you from my perspective, being what I've been through, is if that's really a situation that can cause issues in your office and you know it's not the right thing, is like, how long do you want to keep allowing that to happen?
Right.
I mean, you know, you're a smart guy. Right. That's the thing, is you're a smart guy. So how long, I mean, are you willing to go into your mid-50s and say, damn,
I'm still
getting uptight. And
I look at these things like a dirty diaper.
Yep.
How long do I want to sit in that dirty diaper until I'm ready to change it and to move on?
Right.
And I'm not interested in sitting in the dirty diaper. I'm interested in evolution.
Right.
And rapid evolution.
Yep.
So I'm not going to fight it along the way. So like, I really like, I'm fighting it by feeding it.
Yes.
Excuse me. I'm fighting myself by feeding it. And by feeding it, I'm allowing it to live longer in my life.
Yep.
And the way that I'm going to get by it is clearly like what you just mentioned, by starving it.
But just even your language, Todd, like, you know, in the past, that probably would have distracted me, but today, not anymore.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, in the past, I probably would have got frustrated with him, but not anymore.
Right.
I mean, because the real news is the reason why you're distracted is because you got so much business. You have people pulling at all parts of you.
Right.
What a friggin' great thing is that?
It's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Right? I mean, what you've done here at Wirebuzz is amazing, and the things you're doing for your clients.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So.
I'm going to noodle this one.
Yeah.
This is a great one.
We're going to follow up on this.
Yeah.
We're going to have a follow-up podcast.
Here we are.
First time ever.
That's great.
And, you know, Todd, I want to just, you know, I give you a lot of props for just talking about that, just because, I mean, I know it's not a big deal, but it's personal. And so I know you're a guy who wants to get better. And that's tremendous that you see that, because it's not a game changer breaker, but it has an impact on your how you feel about yourself and how other people feel about you.
That's right.
And that ultimately gets down to how productive they are.
And I also, I want to, my desire is for how I feel about them, for them to have that, to know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm irritated because I'm cattle prodding myself, I'm creating a bit of an undercurrent so they don't really know how grateful I am.
Exactly.
And how much love I have for them and the work that they do and how they make other people feel. So I need to get this part smoothed out. And I'm just grateful that I've had the opportunity to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a last story here that I think might help you, is that we all have stuff going on in our life, as you know. And so me going through this illness and, you know, hitting my numbers and keeping my family going.
Yeah.
I've got two kids in college. And so you know, but I'm out there doing my thing and I've got this persona.
Yeah.
Like everything's great. How you doing? I'm on fire.
Right.
Right. So I'm out there doing my thing. Come home at night and my wife comes home and she doesn't get that person.
Right.
Right. And it's kind of like reminding me of what you just said here. It's like you're hitting me with your employees with not your best self. So here I am with the woman I love the most.
Right.
And she's not getting the best me. She's getting the uptight me, this all the business stuff and all the frustration, all the financial stuff. I give it to her as my gift. You follow me?
So 100%.
So I had to make a 180 real quick on that because she's the most important person in my life. Right. And she should be the one that gets the best of me, not my clients and my customers.
Right. So the psychology here is you're not, when you come home, that is not the time to let go of all the psychology that you've built in yourself. And you know, sometimes like I put the key in the door, all I'm really thinking about is not talking.
Yeah,
I can't talk anymore. I am done.
Yeah,
but that's also me not bringing my best me into that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you're 100% right. The person that deserves the person on fire, at peak state, is the spouse that lovingly has decided to go along on your mission.
That's right. That's right. She doesn't have to be here.
Right.
Right. So it was just, you know, we all have issues and, you know, I've come home before not want to talk and that's fine. But I'm just talking about the overall persona of somebody.
Yeah.
Instead of being engaging, you got that edge to you because maybe your day didn't go well or maybe, you know, that mail bill came in from last week and, you know, those kind of things. Everybody has them.
Right.
So again, just...
adversity comes in multiple ways. But you still have to present yourself as the champion, right? You've got to be able to show up and handle it in the right way.
Well, here's something that's interesting is if I didn't handle that adversity like that, I would have another adversity right now called divorce.
Right.
So one can lead to the other.
Right.
So anyway, I just feel like, you know, in this big circle we're talking about adversity, it really comes down to mindset about what do you want out of your life? Knowing the success habits and taking the steps day after day after day, no matter what roadblocks in your way, and keeping your mind focused on where you're going, not where you've been, and not what's happening right now. Because what's happening right now, whether it's good or bad, is only temporary.
Yeah.
So if it's good, hey, fantastic. But if it's bad, keep going because tomorrow's probably going to be different.
Don't judge the present moment. It's often the most misleading moment.
It just is.
Right?
I mean, it just is right now.
Did we have a single question that we wrote down before we started this episode?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't have a single notepad in front of me. You know, that's, I had no idea that when we got started talking about your health adversity, the only thing I had is maybe I would talk about my heart condition that I had 12 years ago or Wendy's cancer, but I had no idea where we were going. And I think that's not only an indicator of a great conversation that's fluid, but also the safe place that you and I have always had with each other. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Likewise, Todd. Yeah. Likewise.
He's Dan Lear. Dan, where do people find out about you and your zone of genius?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Website, danlear.com. And that's danlier.com. We've got Instagram, Dan Lear, Facebook, Dan Lear, LinkedIn, Dan Lear. And if those of you are interested in our podcast, my wife and I do, called The Business of Love, where we parallel success in business and success in intimate relationships, you can just go to The Business of Love on iTunes, or if you've got an Android, you can go to Stitcher.
Beautiful. Dan Lear, always a treat to have you in. Thank you for being in my life, for inspiring me. Thank you for overcoming adversity like a champion whenever presented. And for allowing us to learn from you as you're going through it.
Thank you, brother. It's been a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
It sure has.
Awesome, beautiful. Man.
Hey, you know that feeling that you have when you finish a run? You feel a feeling of like accomplishment. You just overcame. And then the next time you get onto that path, you already have set a marker in your brain that you've been there and you can do it and you'll do it again, right? That's what you should be thinking about when you look at adversity in your life. You should look at the health scare that you had, or the business adversity you had to overcome, and then say to yourself, well, I've been through worse. I can get through this. And if we can learn from Dan Lear and what he's gone through and how he's trained and programmed his mind to drive his body and his immune system to success. There is no reason why you and me can't identify adversity in our lives and then, like a champion, like Dan Lear, focus on what we have to do to get to that next stage so we're in a consistent path of winning and proving to ourselves that we deserve more wins and more accomplishments in our lives, because if you don't deserve it, who does, right? And when I watch Dan Lear and I hear him tell his story and I know what he's going through and the fear and the frustrations, I often think about what I'm going through and how those are small in comparison to the life that he's fighting for and the time that he's demanding that he's going to get with his wife and his beautiful kids. And that to me is like, you know, motivation. It's fuel. It's like a rocket on your back that if Dan could get through this and he could program his mind to overcome and to look at all of the help and the support that's coming into his life as blessings, what about us and what about me? Absolutely love it. Dan, thank you so much for joining. From a friend who admires you beyond belief, you just inspire me like very few people, and it's a real honor to have you in our studio with us. If you want to figure out how to guarantee that your videos generate a return on investment, the best place to get started, I'm going to give you three things. The best place to get started is our Wirebuzz topic selection worksheet. We created this so you could download it and select the right profitable topics for your business. And as you go through this topic selection worksheet, it'll help you extract the topics that your business could use to be able to create videos that influence and persuade your prospects to buy from you at faster and faster frequencies. Now that's super cool. And you can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/topics with an S on the end. And then we also have some secrets on how to guarantee your videos generate a return on investment. And as such, we created a 5-part web-based mini course. It's a binge-worthy learning experience. And at the end of each one of those videos, I plow you into the next one by dropping a cliffhanger, just like the greatest Netflix shows have ever done. And every day for 5 days, you'll get the next chapter on how we guarantee our videos generate a return on investment, and it's free to you, so you have no excuses. You can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. And then the last piece to the puzzle is we have an insider community that's on Facebook. It is a Facebook group. Just search on Facebook, Wirebuzz Insider Community. Ask to get in, and we will introduce you to a world of video marketers that are crushing it, that start with strategy, that understand the impact of moving people through a decision journey, which your customers go through, and then how to use video to turbocharge the decision process that everybody goes through when they're looking to make a purchase. Look, my name is Todd Hartley. It's a real honor to come here. We've got a lot of really cool things going up. Probably by the time this surfaces, I will be in Texas in San Antonio, where I'm working at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium. Let me give you a little info on that. It sounds like it's a regional conference, but the reality is the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium is an annual conference. It's been going on for 30 years or something like that. And it is the largest breast cancer oncologist conference of the year. It's an international conference, which means people come from all over the world. They speak a variety of different languages, and they're there to learn from the best medical oncologists and researchers on what they're seeing in their labs or with their clinical trials that are advancing patient outcomes. And for those of you that have been following this, you know that I'm a patient advocate. I am a son and a husband and a grandson of survivors, and it's where I like to invest my time. There's a lot of really cool things coming up in my world in the fight against breast cancer and cancer in general on a national and international level. I'll be updating you as time progresses. And then please know there's super cool, big, ginormous things that are happening here at Wirebuzz. I'm not at liberty to talk about it yet. We are still in the paperwork process, but making tremendous progress. And I can't wait to bring you up to speed, because you're going to be playing an important role in the next stage, not only in my career, but in the next stage in yours, as we become video marketing masters together. Peace.